Good morning. We've been here for a little over a month. We've been here 2 months. And as Pastor said, we'll leave in October 4th is when we plan to head back to Senegal. We're very glad we had an opportunity to come today and minister. Every Sunday until we leave, we're going to be ministering in a different church, giving a presentation like we're doing today. So we're going to be kept busy giving presentations to the different churches that are supporting our ministry in Senegal. We thank you for the faithful support that you've shown to us through the years. You are home church. You're the ones that sent us out to the field. And so we are very appreciative of this church and the commitment you have made to us. As Pastor said, we've been ministering in Senegal. It's approaching 22 years that we are ministering there. We started in 1995. And we're in the capital city of Dakar, and we're ministering to the Muslims of Senegal. Now, Senegal is 95% Islamic, and yet the door is wide open for the gospel. We, on our identification card for the country, it says we are missionaries. So we don't have to hide the fact that we are missionaries serving in Senegal. Now, the key to a meaningful ministry in Senegal is building relationships with the people. And we've had a lot of time to build relationships with the people of Senegal. We'd like to share with you about a couple of those relationships that we have built over the years. One was with a man named David. David is a man I met probably on our second term, back in 2002, I think I met him. He was working at a boutique just down the road from where we were living. And I used to visit David on a regular basis, and we began going through like a Bible study. I'd bring these small Bible booklets to him, and we'd go through the booklet together. I also gave him a book. It's called All of the Prophets Have Spoken. And this book explains how the prophets, Jesus is the fulfillment of what the prophets spoke. Now, we got to know David pretty well because he would come to our home, and sometimes we'd give him a meal. We invited David to come to the baptism of our three youngest children this past term. And so David came and was part of the baptism ceremony. Now, we rejoiced with David in that he found a wife this past year. And so we were able to attend his wedding. So we have been tried to be an encouragement to David and his wife, Nyeme, as they've tried to start up a business. It would give them greater credibility with the family that they live with if they could have their own source of income. Our desire is one day to start up a Bible study with David and his wife and possibly other members of his family. Now, there's another man named David that we've met. David used to work at a restaurant that was next to a pool that our family would frequent. Now, David is a Senegalese believer. And David and I would get together during the summer every day, and we'd go out and visiting some of the people that I have built relationships with. During the year, we'd go out every weekend together. And most people like David because he's very friendly, very easygoing. And they were encouraged by David. Now, I met a man, his name is Abdu, earlier in the year I met him. He was a man who served tea. It's called ataya. And so I'd visit him and drink the tea, ataya, with him. Well, one day I asked him if he'd be interested in doing a Bible study. Now, at first he wasn't willing. He said, I'm real busy. I can't do the Bible study. But I went to visit him one Sunday afternoon, and he was just closing up his work. And I came back to him another day and said, well, could we do it on a Sunday afternoon when you're finished your work? And so he said, that would work out. So we began the study. It was on Resurrection Sunday that we began the study of in God's Word. Now, I realized when I got about a few lessons down the road that I wasn't going to be there much longer because we had to come back to the States for our home assignment. And so I spoke to David and asked if he would be willing to continue the study with Abdu. And he said, yes, I can do that. So my hope is that David will continue to do the Bible study with Abdu in my absence, and that Abdu and eventually his wife, and he has a brother who lives with him, that they might take part in the study. And so our goal, our desire is to see both Abdu and his whole family come to faith in Christ. Now I'd like to share with you a scripture from Luke chapter 10, because this scripture speaks to the ministry that we are a part of in Senegal. And I'd like to read Luke 10 and read the first couple of verses. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now, the first point is that when the Lord sees a need to be met, he uses people to meet it. Now, he spoke to these 72 men, and this is the message he gave to them. He said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask or pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." Now, the very ones that Jesus told to pray that the Lord would send out workers were the ones who were sent. Now, I'd like to share with you about some of the other messengers that the Lord has raised up through Scripture to prepare the way for the Lord. And the first of those messengers is Adam. Now, many of us don't think of Adam as a messenger or a prophet, but the Muslims do. Adam, it's through Adam we understand that we need a Savior. For the scripture says, it's through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. And so death passed to all men, for all have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when we talk about Adam, he points to the fact that we need a Savior. Another messenger was Noah. Now the Lord told Noah he was going to judge the world by a flood. But he told Noah how he could save himself and his family by building an ark. And the Lord gave Noah specific instructions on how to build it. He told him to put a door in the side of the ark. And so whoever entered that door would be saved from the flood. Jesus said, "I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Jesus also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Another messenger of the Lord was Abraham. Now the Lord blessed Abraham. He told him he would have many descendants. And the Lord began to fulfill that promise when he gave him his son Isaac. But remember, the Lord tested Abraham. He told him, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering." And so Abraham took Isaac to the mountain. He placed him on the altar, and with his arm raised and a knife in his hand, was about to plunge it into his son. But then the Lord stopped him. And the Lord showed him a ram that was caught by its horns in a thorn bush. And Abraham took the ram, and he offered it instead of his son. But before Abraham left the mountain, he gave it a name. He named the mountain, "The Lord will provide." Because you see, Abraham was looking ahead to a future sacrifice that the Lord was going to provide. And this sacrifice came during the time of John the Baptist. Remember, John was with his disciples one day, and he saw Jesus coming to him. And he pointed to him and said to his disciples, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so John recognized that Jesus was the fulfillment of what Abraham had said so many years ago. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He did that through his own sacrifice, through his death on the cross. Well, there's one more messenger, and his name is Elias in Wolof. You know him as Elijah. And Malachi speaks of Elijah and says, he is my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Now, Elias is my name in Senegal. It's the name that my Senegalese friends call me. And I chose the name Elias because my focus in Senegal is to prepare the way for the Lord there in Senegal. I'd like to continue in Luke 10, and let's look at verse 5. It says, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Now, Jesus said to those he was sending out that they were to prioritize their ministry. They were to look for the men of peace. Now, I'd like to share with you in Scripture some examples of men of peace that we have. And the first is in John 4. And this was not actually a man, it was a woman. Remember, Jesus went to a well in Samaria. And he met a woman there. And Jesus revealed himself to her as the Messiah. Well, after this, we see her response in John 4:28. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Then verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So this woman qualifies as a woman of peace because she met Jesus, and immediately what she did was she presented him to others. And that's what a man of peace will do, is not keep Jesus to himself, but share him with others. Let's look at another woman of peace in Acts chapter 16. This was on Paul's second missionary journey. And the Lord had just called him to go to Macedonia. And so Paul obeyed and he went to Macedonia and he wound up in the city of Philippi. And it's in Acts 16:13. We read, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So here we see Lydia. And it says, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And what did she do immediately after that? Is she introduced Paul to the members of her household. And he preached the gospel to them. And they were saved. And so Lydia was a woman of peace because she shared Jesus with her family. Let's go to further in Acts 16. Paul and Silas had been put in prison because they delivered a woman from demon possession. While they were in prison, there was an earthquake. And we read of this in Acts 16, verse 26. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself, we are all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. So here we have the Philippian jailer who also heard the truth. When he asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They responded, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." So the jailer also brought the gospel to his household, and they believed and were baptized. There's one more man of peace we read about in Acts 18, verse 8. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. So here we have Crispus, who believed when he heard the message. And he brought the message to his household, and they also believed. But it also says the Corinthians who heard him also believed. So Crispus was a man of peace because he brought the message of Jesus to his household and to the people of the community. Well, I'd like to continue in our text in Luke 10. Let me read verse 8. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this. The kingdom of God is near. The third point is that when sufficient opportunity is given to hear and understand the gospel, the hearer is accountable for what he has heard. Rejection makes him liable to judgment. Now, Paul said that his ministry was to the Jew first, and after that to the Gentile. And so, see, we see this habit in Paul's ministry is that he would go to the Jews first, and after that he would turn to the Gentiles. Let's look about a couple occasions where that happened in Acts chapter 13, verse 50. We read, "But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium." So here Paul was ministering primarily to the Jews, and the Jews rejected his message. And so he wiped the dust off his feet in judgment against them. And then in Acts 18, verse 6, we read these words. "But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, 'Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.'" So here again, he shook out his clothes against these Jews who rejected him, and he turned to the Gentiles. And so Scripture is clear, we ought to continue to bring the gospel to people even though they may not be responsive. Now, we've been in Senegal for 22 years, and we have yet to see the Senegalese turn to Christ. But these scriptures are telling us we need to keep sowing the seed. We need to keep bringing the gospel to the Senegalese in the hope that one day they will respond in faith to the gospel. Well, I'd like to invite my wife to share a little bit about her ministry in Senegal. So, Sue.
Good morning. Senegal is really a different world. We have, as missionaries, we live in a different culture, but we live in also a subculture. So as Dan said, 95% Muslim, and there are about 13 million people, and there are many languages that are spoken there. The official language is French, so that's taught in the schools and it's used in the government. But the trade language is Wolof, and that's what Dan and I speak. And people who could move in from a village or from another country, that's the first language that they'll learn so they can communicate with everyone. But we live in a subculture as well. We are foreigners, and it's very obvious that we are foreigners because it's sub-Sahara Africa, and everyone is Negro and very dark skin. So it's very obvious that we are foreigners. But within our subculture of foreigners, we have other Africans who are not Senegalese, but from all the various countries around there. We also have Europeans, diplomats, NGOs, and refugees. So even within that subculture, there are Christians. So we have fellowship with other missionaries and other Christians in the country. There are very few Senegalese Christians that were formerly Muslims. There has been more response to those who are Catholic coming to know the Savior. One of the things that we... Where are my kids? Come on up. We have a lot of different languages there, and they're going to just do a little skit to give us some intro into one of the methods we use there. I'm sure you've seen that around here with young people and everybody on their cell phones and plugged into their handheld device. Well, that is very, very common where we are in Dakar. And one thing that we can use is a little tiny cart. It's called a SD card, and it can be placed in the back of their phone, and it has sermons from Genesis to Acts. And they can listen to the Bible through, all the way through. It's 100 lessons in this little card, and it's in all the various languages. So we're able to communicate with people, but in their heart language as well. And when we give them, this is a little computer one that also has the Jesus film on it. So we're able to use that. Many people have jobs, excuse me, where they sit for a number of hours. Or, for instance, the guards in our neighborhood, we live in a what's called a little cité with a wall around it. It's very unusual. It's like a little village in the suburbs. And as a neighborhood, we have guards that just watch the area for strange people coming in, those who look like thieves. And it's just to deter any thieves in our neighborhood. And we've been able to give these cards to them because they sit for a number of hours. People who ride the buses, they can listen on the bus. But it's to introduce them to the truth. Dan was talking about David, one of the men that we've known for a very long time. And he's actually done Bible study with him before. But one of the things is David is in his 50s. And so until a man is married and has children, he is still a boy. So David had no rights or decision-making rights in his family or his extended family. So he was always looked at as a child. Now he has a wife, and they're expecting a baby. And so we've helped them start a business so that as he grows in status in the family, he will have more of a say about doing a Bible study in the whole home, in the home, where in most Senegalese homes, it's not just a mom and a dad and their children. It's the mom and dad and their brothers and sisters and perhaps their parents or their aunts and uncles, and then a number of children in the home. That's a typical Senegalese home. So it's not just the nuclear family. It's the extended family that lives there. Each nuclear family has their own room in a complex or a large house. So we also use these. I've given these to my friends and my neighbors. And one woman, she's an older woman, she listens to it every night. And she says, oh, I just love this. It gives me so much peace, and I just love listening to this. But she doesn't. We talk a lot about Jesus and his role to save us from our sins, but she really has not come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit as of yet. But we know in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Elohim. So I'm going to say more in the Sunday school, so come on down to the Sunday school afterwards.
I want to just mention that we have a display set up downstairs, and so we invite you to come to the display and look at some of the things that we have on the table. We have our prayer card, so we encourage you to pick up the prayer card. There's also a sign-up sheet for our newsletter, which is put out quarterly, and so if you'd like to receive regular mailings from us, you can sign up for the newsletter as well. So we look forward to seeing you downstairs.